starts here. I don't believe it. By the end of the story that we just had read, Thomas says, I do believe it. He couldn't possibly believe it at the time. He said, I don't believe it. I want to see it. I want to test it. I want to feel it. I want to prove it. I don't believe it. Well, what's the aim for us today? Every one of us here, what's the aim? Well, to believe. To believe. So maybe you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Well, the aim is for you to move from I don't believe to I do. But maybe you would call yourself a Christian. And you don't need to move from that position. Well, actually, the aim is to make sure that you do believe it. And then knowing that you do believe this, what you say you believe, that you move on and mature in that belief. So, wouldn't call yourself a Christian. The aim is to move from there to there. Call yourself a Christian to make sure you are here and that you're living in light of this. You do believe. But believe what? I hear you ask. You need a Bible. Children, you need an adult. I'm going to give you 1 minute to ask an adult, and adults, you can ask adults too. Verse 25. Look down in your Bibles, verse 25. Two questions. What did the disciples tell Thomas? And what did he say? Okay, go and find an adult, children. You've got 1 minute. What did the disciples tell Thomas? And what did he say? Verse 25, what did they tell him and what did he say? Ten seconds. Adults, you can ask adults too. That's absolutely fine. Okay, we're talking about believing, but believing what? So what did the disciples tell Thomas? Hands up. Jordan, if you can find the answer. Any volunteers? Got any? Yeah. What did they tell Thomas? Can you remember? What did they say? That's right, they'd seen the Lord. So the disciples are saying, we saw Jesus. He was here last week. We saw him. And what did Thomas say? Chloe. Absolutely. I will not believe. I do not believe. I will not believe. Thomas said, nope. I need to test it. I need to see it right before my eyes. I need to see it. Well done. You see, Thomas couldn't believe it, could he? He couldn't believe that not only was Jesus not dead, but that Jesus was alive, and that Jesus was walking with his friends, and that he was talking with his friends. He couldn't believe it. Now, a few of you of the internet savvy may recognize this meme that has been doing the rounds for the last few years, actually. This is Bill. Bill wears a hat. Bill wears a hat because it's cold out. Be like Bill. Or for the... well, maybe the slightly older generation. This is Rick. Rick will never give you up, let you down, run around, desert you, make you cry, say goodbye, tell a lie, hurt you. Children, you can ask the adults why they're laughing. Be like Rick. Well, I've made my own meme for today. This is Thomas. Thomas doesn't believe. Thomas won't believe. Don't be like Thomas. It's a bit silly, but it gets the point, and this is like the big lesson for this bit of the talk. Don't be like Thomas. Believe that Jesus is risen. Don't be like Thomas. Believe that Jesus is risen. Now, it is tempting, we've got to be honest, to sympathize with Thomas. You think, well, he wasn't there. He just wanted some proof. It sounds almost kind of scientific, doesn't it? Yeah, he'd want to see it, touch it, test it. Tempting to sympathize, but actually we can't sympathize with him. In one sense, we think, well, yeah, I would have done the same. That doesn't make it okay. We mustn't sympathize because Jesus doesn't. I don't know if you noticed that. He does give him what he asked for, but he doesn't say it's okay. So I wonder, children, maybe adults, if you've ever been told off by a teacher before. I'm not asking you to volunteer the answer. You know how it is. You know, they look around the classroom and they catch you doing something you shouldn't be doing. I'm sure that's never happened to any one of you. They catch you, and then they call you out. They call your name. Or if you were slightly older, they probably threw a board rubber at you. They catch you out, they call you out, and then they correct you. They say, stop doing that. Stop doing that. Start doing this. Well, Jesus doesn't throw a board rubber, but he does the same. You can imagine him. He enters the room with the disciples, and he looks around. He talks to all of them and says, peace be with you. And then he zones in on Thomas. Thomas, verse 27. He looks around the room, he catches Thomas's eye, and then he calls him out. Verse 27, look in your Bibles. What did Jesus say? Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hands. Reach out and put them in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. Now, this is Thomas's position. I think we'll all agree. I don't believe. Children, which one should go with Thomas's statement? Is he wrong to say it, or is he right to do it? Caitlin. He's wrong. He should say, I do. There we go. Always come prepared. There you go. Great. We'll leave that over there. He should say, I do believe. Stop doubting and believe. Now, just as a bit of a side point, really, often Thomas is called Doubting Thomas. You may have heard that before. But actually, other translations perhaps put it a little bit better. The English Standard Version says this. It says, do not disbelieve, but believe. And the Message says, don't be unbelieving, believe. It's the same word. Stop disbelieving and start believing. So doubt is not the problem. We need to be clear on this. Doubt's not the problem. Disbelief is. So questions are a great thing in the Christian life. We're not anti-questions. In fact, questions are no problem. It's just refusing the answers is the problem. So questions about the Christian faith is really healthy. But refusing the answers when they're given is not so healthy. That's the point. Doubt is not a problem. Disbelief's the problem that we're dealing with here. Disbelief. So, and in fact, that's why we put on various events. One Big Question coming this Thursday. Christianity Explored. It's asking questions about Christianity. Training Central. We come often after an all-age service to deal with our big question of the Christian life. It's not like when you become a Christian, you suddenly have no questions. It's not like you need all the answers before you become a Christian. So doubting and questioning is okay. But Thomas is not doing that. Be clear on that. Thomas is saying, I don't and I will not believe. I will not believe. Disbelief. What did we say? Don't be like Thomas. Believe that Jesus is risen. Now, I'm going to have a quick quiz just to see if you've got... Sadly, we haven't got our quiz master, Jeff, here. But we're going to do question by question vote. I'm going to ask you to put your hand up afterwards. I'm going to read the options, then you need to put your hand up after. So, how many times did this man get married? A, 3, B, 1, or C, 6 times? How many times did this man get married? A, anyone think he got married 3 times? Anyone think he got married 1 time? Anyone think he got married 6 times? Is that right? Yeah, is this right? Yeah. Just check, I'll get some funny looks here. Yeah. Okay, I think it's 6 times. He had 6 wives at least. King Henry VIII had 6 wives, that's a lot. What type of dinosaur is this? Is it a Tyrannosaurus Rex? A Diplodocus? Or Diplodocus, depending on how you pronounce it. And do you think he saw us? Question A. Who thinks it was a Tyrannosaurus Rex? Who thinks it's the Diplodocus? Who thinks it's a do you think he saw us? A few, yep. Yeah. It is a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Okay. And last question. What is the name of this ship? the gigantic, the titanic, or the humongous? Hands up if you think it's called the gigantic. Hands up if you think it's called the titanic. Hands up if you think it's called the humongous. Okay, now it is quite big, admittedly. But, okay, easy questions. We don't need a quiz master for them. You all knew the right answer. You all gave the correct option. You all knew the truth. But how? How? I presume you have never seen or touched a dinosaur. I don't think you met or spoke to Henry VIII, and I'm presuming none of us were around in April 1912 when the Titanic sank. But you believed them. You believed it. So you heard it from someone else, and you believed it. And that's okay, isn't it? That's okay. See, we believe witnesses all the time. A witness is just for the children. They've seen something that you didn't see, and they tell you what happened. That's what a witness is. They tell you what happened, that you didn't see it. So we believe witnesses all the time. They witness about what they saw, and then they tell us what they saw. For example, we believe witnesses in the law court. We believe witnesses in the textbooks. You read a textbook, that's a witness, someone telling you about something. We believe witnesses in the news reports, in the TV and radio interviews. If someone saw Notre Dame, they'd be telling us what happened, the fire in Notre Dame. We believe witnesses all the time, and we can believe witnesses in the Bible. So we believe witnesses all the time, and we can believe the witness of the Bible. Now, what did Thomas say to his friends? I don't believe it. Don't be like Thomas. Believe that Jesus is risen. You see, Thomas eventually did see that Jesus was risen. He did get to touch him. He did get to see and put his hands by his sides. But he didn't need to. He did get to, but he didn't need to. And neither do you. None of us here. Verse 29, Jesus says exactly that. Verse 29, Jesus told Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. He's saying, the Bible is enough. The witness of John's gospel is enough. The witnesses, the disciples, the 500 who saw him, it's enough. Now, granted, that sounds perhaps a little biased. You may be thinking, well, that's just a bit religious and a bit unscientific. How could you really believe that someone rose from the dead? Sure, they said it, but did it really happen? You're a bit gullible, right? Well, just listen to these words from a professor of nuclear science and engineering at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, an academic heavyweight at a university in America. This is a professor of nuclear science. Contrary to increasingly popular opinion, science is not our only means for accessing truth. In the case of Jesus' resurrection, we must consider the historical evidence. And the historical evidence for the resurrection is as good as for almost any event of ancient history. And a bare presumption that science has shown the resurrection to be impossible is an intellectual cop-out. Science shows no such thing. This is a scientist saying, scientists haven't have all the answers. Actually, the historical evidence is pretty plain. He did rise. Now, perhaps it's hard to believe, but it's possible to believe. In fact, it is necessary to believe that Jesus is risen. So don't be like Thomas. Before we sing a song, I just want you to imagine, just back in that scene again, in that room, you are Thomas. You've boldly kind of professed your disbelief. I don't believe it. You've brazenly, brashly dismissed what your friends told you. They said they saw Jesus, and you said, you're crazy. And then Jesus walked into the room. And then he says, peace be with you. And then he singles in on you. And he calls you out and says, Thomas, stop your disbelief. believe. Believe me, see, touch. Believe me. Now, and it may be that through his word, Jesus is doing just the same thing today. He's come here, he walks into this room, and he singles someone out here and says, stop your disbelief. Believe. John says, this book is enough witness, enough evidence. Believe. We'll think a bit later about what it looks like and what it leads to believe. But for now, the lesson's clear. Don't be like Thomas. Believe that Jesus is risen. We're going to sing a song now, and I'm going to need the children to come to the front in a second. It's called I'm Following the King. And it teaches us exactly what it means to believe, what it looks like and what it leads to. When I say I believe the King, this is what it looks like. So let's come forward, children. Right, well, children, you need to go and find an adult and ask them, what was Thomas's turnaround? You've got 30 seconds. Go and find an adult, ask an adult, what was Thomas's turnaround? Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right, hands up. If you can tell me what Thomas's turnaround was. Yes, go on. That's right. Yep, so Thomas started here. I don't believe it. Victor Meldrew voice. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I do believe it. I do believe it. But what we're going to see in this second shorter bit is simply this, that when you believe that Jesus is risen, well, it affects your behavior. It affects how you live. It affects what you do. And so we're going to just have a quick test. Now, if I told you there was a bomb under this building, what would you do? Run. Good. Now, if someone didn't run, do they believe me? No. Great. If you believe something, you do something. If I told you there were chocolate eggs sellotaped under some of the chairs in this auditorium, what would you do? You would bend down and reach. Go on, have a look. Adult soup. Not everywhere, but somewhere. Found one. Not to be eaten now. Not to be eaten now. And Tessa got one as well. Well done, adults, for sharing with the children. Very good. Point is clear. If you believe something, then you're really going to do something about it. And if you didn't believe me, I wouldn't have had to wait here for a couple of minutes while you looked for chocolate. Believing, behaving, they're linked. And the big thing is, second lesson, do be like Thomas. Believe that Jesus is ruler. Don't be like him. Believe Jesus is risen. Do be like Jesus. Believe he is ruler. Now, I need you to look at verse 28. That's all we're going to be looking at right now. Verse 28 is the most amazing statement. For good reason, it's been called, the climax of the whole gospel. This story is where it's all headed to. John is writing for this moment. Verse 28, the little number 28, children. Thomas said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Another version puts it, my master, my God. Probably, as someone put it, the clearest and simplest confession in the whole of the New Testament that Jesus is God. Now, to be fair, I need to just flag up. Some people think that
Jesus is actually talking to two people here. Like, my Lord. No, Thomas is talking to two people. My Lord and my God. But that can't be right. Because verse 28 clearly says, Thomas said to him. Thomas said to Jesus. He's not talking to two people. He's talking to Jesus. My Lord and my God. Jesus. Some people think that Thomas is actually basically doing the equivalent of the first century OMG. Forgive the profanity, but the idea of like, whoa, he's swearing or something in shock. Well, actually, that can't be right either. Verse 29, Jesus doesn't think Thomas is swearing in shock. Jesus says he's believing in faith. So what we have here, well, those two ideas are just nonsense designed to kind of brush Jesus' Godhead, his Godness, under the carpet. It's very clear. Jesus is my Lord and my God. God on earth. And it's the climax of the gospel. You can imagine as Thomas says, he kind of dropping on his knees, saying, my Lord and my God, turning from unbelief, turning to belief. Effectively saying, I believe that Jesus is ruler. Thomas said it, and so should you. Jesus is risen. Jesus is ruler. Now we need to think about what he is saying and what he's not saying. So listen very carefully. My Lord and my God, he is not saying, well, he says my Lord, doesn't he? He says my Lord and my God. He does not say my family's Lord, my family's God, does he? So maybe a teenager, child, adult here even. At some point, it's going to have to be you who says, Jesus is my Lord. At some point, you have to make a decision. And I wonder, it'd be a question to talk about with your parents later. What's keeping you from saying that? Have you said it? Why not today? You should ask your parents, how can I make Jesus my Lord and my God and not just my parents' God or my family's God? So not just my family's Lord, not just my country's Lord. It'd be fair to say that a lot of people tick the box in the census to say that Jesus is their God. But being an Englishman doesn't make you a Christian. We just need to be clear on that. Each and every one of us will need to say at some point, like Thomas, my Lord and my God. So he says, my Lord, my personal Lord, my God. I bow the knee to him myself and I surrender to him myself. He must be my Lord and God. But secondly, he says, my Lord and God. My Lord and God. Not Jesus, my best friend. There to kind of pick me up. Most of these things I'll say are true to an extent, but they're not the primary thing. We're not saying my best friend Jesus. We're not saying my spiritual director Jesus, my life coach Jesus, who's there to kind of help me make some good life choices. We're not saying my genie Jesus, the one who just is there to grant my every wish, my every command, my what I really want to satisfy my life. He's not my genie Jesus. He is my Lord and God Jesus. If you want to put it simply, he's my maker and he's my master. And he's a great friend and he listens to our prayers, but he's not a genie. And he's not a life coach. He's your Lord. Now, to illustrate, I've got a lot of things in my bag. Now, I wonder if these ring any bells for adults or children. Mostly adults. Caitlin's recognizing them. Here's an example. Name tag. This is your school top with your name in it. This is property of Caitlin Skerritt. And that means it's not yours. Yeah, this is Caitlin's. And if you had a blue one, it would be Zachary's. This is the water bottle, property of Caitlin. This is property of Skerritts. This is our caked in and no one else's caked in. This is our property. Now, I could have gone through the lost property at school and given you each a piece of clothing, and I'd ask you to tell me, whose is it? Who does it belong to? We won't do that because that would have been smelly and muddy. But the point being, when Thomas says, I do believe that Jesus is my Lord and my God, he's basically saying, on every area, on every element of all my life, there's the name tag, property of Jesus Christ, Lord and God, risen ruler. Every area, a little tag, he's my, we're his, we're his. And you can talk about that later, what area of life that is. Just a few examples. Your plans for retirement, your timetable, they need to be signed off by the risen ruler, Jesus. Your NatWest bank account holder is not actually you. Account holder name, risen ruler, Jesus. Your big boss at work or at school, actually, the risen ruler, Jesus. How you work matters. Your computer screen, your TV screen, printed on the top of it. Property of Jesus Christ, Lord and God, risen ruler. What you do with it matters. If you say he's yours. So when Thomas came to this position, Thomas really, really, really came to it. I believe it. Not just lip service, but life service. If Jesus is risen, he must rule everything. More to talk about later. And it's fair to say, for Thomas, that would cost. It did cost. It cost him his life. But it was a no-brainer. Do you know why? Why would he do anything, however hard, to serve Jesus? Because stood opposite him, what he saw was proof positive that this life is not all there is, that there is a life beyond the grave. Stood opposite him was Jesus, the risen ruler, who was, offering peace. He said, peace to you, full forgiveness, freedom, a future. Peace extended, warfare ceased, hostility gone. No longer your enemy. Because of his death on the cross, full forgiveness. He offers peace and he offers a living hope. Literally a living hope. A hope of living and a life that's hopeful. His death, his resurrection, that's enough to mean Jesus can be Lord of everything, and it'll be worth it. So to stay in unbelief is to remain at war with God and to have a future of judgment. But to turn to him is to have peace with God and a future that is perfect. Simple. This is Thomas. Don't be like Thomas. Believe he's risen. Do be like Thomas. Believe that Jesus is our ruler. We're going to sing a song now. We sang it a couple of years ago called In Him I Have Believed. And it simply summarizes the blessings that the resurrection brings and the change that it brings as well. So use it as a chance to commit yourself again to that. In Him I Have Believed. Let's stand and sing together.